I am so excited to have you on the show, Dr. Joe, because I have I've had, you know, quite a few interesting things going on with I just heard something. Okay. Hang on just a second. I'm getting messages here. Line was off. Uh-oh. So I don't know where we're picked up here, but we're back on. Let me just repeat that we have Dr. Joe Gallenberger on. And this is going to be about Inner Vagus, his book about so many fascinating things. And Dr. Joe, you have such an amazing, helpful background. And I would like you to take a little bit of time and go into, you know, where you came from, you know, what got you into this whole thing. Because besides being at the Monroe Institute and being a psychologist and all these other things, it's like, okay, how do you go from there to using PK to win in Vegas? And how does that translate to being able to help people to heal? And I was just, I loved your book, by the way. It was fascinating.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. So please go ahead. I'm going to give you the floor or the air and go to it.
Okay. Like you mentioned, I have been a clinical psychologist for about 30 years of practice as a therapist. And around 1992, I began to investigate this idea of psychokinesis, the ability to affect matter with your mind. And how that came about, I was up at the Monroe Institute, where I've been a facilitator for about 22 years, and found that I was able to put my hand on somebody's shoulder and take their headache away. But I didn't know if I did it, they did it. It was supposed to go away, it would have gone away by itself. And so though that was intriguing, it was hard to study. Later, I found myself with my hands really hot, my heart wide open, feeling very grounded and expanded, and being able to control what I rolled on dice, which is one of the ways psychokinesis could manifest. And that really interested me, because that I could study. As a scientist, we know what the statistics are on dice and how often particular numbers should come up, etc. So I went to a university laboratory and we did a number of these psychokinesis experiments, things like raising the height of a fountain column using just your energy, or making it lower than for 15 minutes, and found I was getting results in the thousands to one by chance. Another interesting one was two pictures, kitty cat and the pyramid. They mix the pixels by a random number generator. It's kind of like heads and tails flipping. And every time the computer picked a zero, there'd be a pixel from one picture, a pixel from the other picture. And I went, here, kitty cat, and got the kitty cat come out really strongly, and got that about 30,000 to one by chance. So by the time I left that laboratory, I knew PK was real. And I really wanted to study it thoroughly, and looking around for a place to do that, Las Vegas was the perfect place, because dice are guaranteed to be neutral, and the slot machines have those random number generators, just like that experiment that I mentioned, so you can say, here, jackpot, and get the jackpot to come in.
Ooh, I haven't tried that.
So I also found that that energy was the same as we use for manifesting and for healing. And so much of the manifestation things in my own life went up, and healing in my own life got more powerful. And so I began to teach it, and I've done 65 workshops called Inner Vagus Adventure out in Vegas. and eventually developed a program called MC Squared, or Manifestation and Creation Squared, from Monroe Institute. And for the last 10 years there, we've been bending metal and plastic with our minds, growing seeds in our hands in 5 minutes, lighting light bulbs with no electricity, doing healings that have been very dramatic, all kinds of things like that. And from there, I developed a home study course called Sync Creation so people could do this at home. So that's kind of been the journey leading up to the book. At that point, I felt like I wanted to get it out to a wider audience. And so Inner Vegas, Creating Miracles, Abundance, and Health was published about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I guess.
Wow, and I got to tell you, I loved it. I loved hearing about it. I loved reading about it. And for me, I mean, the light bulbs just went off because I started out being a healer.
Uh-huh.
And at the same time, my grandpa used to take me to play street crafts with his friends until they banned me because I was running the dice all the time. But
see, so you know personally. Yeah.
Yeah, granddad made a lot of money. And and he was tickled with that because, you know, being Italian, which you can't tell from my name, by the way, but because I had that influence more in my life, you know, they believe in all that kind of stuff. And so it was fascinating for me to read about how you made that leap. And of course I would expect that, you know, being at Monroe Institute. I mean, I think what really opened my eyes years ago was the whole out of body experience that he had written about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I started practicing all those things. I've done spoon bending, and actually it was a fork, but it was, you know, it was just so funny, all these amazing things that one can get into. And for years, Dr. Joe, I have been wondering, how do you wake people up and get them to really see that this is possible and that everybody can do it? This is why
excited. You can start with asking them to review their childhood, because a lot of people would, if they're aiming for double sixes and backgammon or Monopoly to get an extra turn, as a kid, they remember being able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps they'll also have some memories of being able to do some healing. And as you mentioned, they go together. So
yeah.
Often that's where we start, is building that this is a very normal ability, but it's something that we may have forgotten or never really activated yet.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. As I was reading the experiences of your Vegas workshop group, I spent a long time in Las Vegas and came from California, and I was totally against gambling. I mean, you could not find somebody more against gambling than me, probably. But it was just one of those things, you know, just strange dysfunctional family raising and stuff. And I got to the point, you know, in my own transition through metaphysics, where I said, now, wait a minute, that's a belief system. And then I have a couple physicist friends, and one of them was kind of in the black ops department of physics through the Navy. And, you know, he's really a magician. He said, you know, you want to see some real magic? I can do real magic. And I said, yeah, that's very interesting. And he started talking about changing your belief system in extreme ways. And I thought, well, now that makes sense, because if you get people with multiple personalities, they will have sometimes different eye colors, they'll have different diseases or lack thereof, and I mean all kinds of crazy stuff. And you think, how could that possibly be? And so, you know, all these things are rattling around in my head, and finally I said, you know, that's a strong belief system that I have against that. So
yeah.
Let me change that. If I can change that belief system, I can do anything. And so I worked on it, and it took me a while because I didn't have your methods in front of me. So it took me a while, but I went through it, and I thought, okay, first of all, I don't have any fun if I walk into a casino. It's just not, you know, I was never interested. It's like if I go in, I put a nickel in, I expect two back, and it better be like right now. And so I had this little period where I went through and had, you know, people, friends and relatives and stuff that would come into Vegas and want to stay with us. And we'd usually hand them a map and the keys and go, see you later, have a good time. And at one point I had a cousin around my age that came into town. He wanted to go gambling. And we were talking about all this PK stuff. And I said, well, I can help you to win. I don't gamble, but I can help you. And he said, really? How do you do that? And I said, well, let's put my hand behind your neck here, and I'll just channel you some energy. And so we tried a few dice rolls and stuff, and he said, okay, let's go. Well, I made a few bucks, you know, and it was to the point where all the pit bosses were starting to gather around and give him the evil eye. And so he was starting to get really, really nervous about that, so we left. So for a while there, I was making a little money just, you know, channeling energy for other guys that wanted to gamble. And then I thought, okay, let me change my belief system enough to where it's okay for me to do this. And so I started doing that, and I started winning. And first I was just, you know, breaking even, and then I was, you know, starting to have a little bit of fun, and then I would win a little bit of a jackpot, and then I'd win a little bit bigger one. I finally got to the point where I said, okay, sometimes I can go to the casino and I can play all night on $20. And I have fun. I play the games and I leave. Talk to people, you know, whatever. And then other times I would go and I'd say, man, I really need like $340 or something, you know, to make a payment. And I'd walk in the door and 20 minutes later I'd walk out with, you know, exactly what I needed. So I always joke with people and tell them I only go to the casino when I really need some money. And they look at me and go, what?
Well, you're onto something there, because psychokinesis, or PK, usually it's results-driven. You know, we hear stories of women lifting a car off of a baby that's underneath the car.
Yeah.
When it really gets critical, that's when these skills come to the fore spontaneously. But we can also learn how, just by raising our heart energy, grounding, really connecting with spirit well, to get very consistent in this and have it happen a little bit more under our control and when we want it to. But having a bill to pay or having a particular car you'd love to buy or anything like that is a nice psychokinesis goal.
Yeah, and I that's the other thing I wanted to mention so that people really get it, that your stuff is heart-centered. And that's another thing, that the reason that I was really thrilled about your book, because you don't see that a lot. You see a lot of people that are money, money, money oriented. Like I was very disappointed in the big movie that came out about how to manifest, and I thought, you know, this is just not going to go any place good, because it was just too materialistic. And when you look at what happened to all the people involved in it, it was like, whoa, okay, well, you know,
Mainly, I have no interest in doing anything that isn't positive for you psychologically spiritually. And so a wide open heart tends to be the most healthy, powerful, and consistent energy that you can develop. And so, you know, all the way through this, we build that in. In the Vegas Adventures, we have a blessing bucket on the side, and people anonymously can just drop some money in there if they want as they come to the workshop. And we've raised over $100,000 for charity doing that.
That's so awesome.
And so I like, even when I meet as a group and people have the privilege to come together that way, and I have the privilege to be with them, that people benefit tangibly around the world that we never meet.
And, yeah.
That's where the fun is, really.
Yeah, and the thing that that's so important about this too, lest people think it's all about the money, it's more my excitement about it was, you know, by opening your heart, yes, you do open the avenues to healing and to fun and to being able to help other people and not be so down in the dumps, because so many people nowadays are just so depressed and they just don't see any way out of this mess that the world seems to be in. And I keep telling people, you know, if we would all just get together, open our hearts, and decide that we are going to have a better world, it would happen. It could happen in a twinkling of an eye.
I agree, and that's many of us are starting to get our acts together individually, but I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of trying to get 18 people to decide which pizza to order. It can be a challenge, you know? So what we do in the Vegas workshops, we have the tables to ourselves, and we spend the whole day generating a coherent field of energy, coherent goals. And then when these miracles happen in psychokinesis, people do leave going, wow, if I could get my community or my business or my family to be more coherent, more loving, boy, we could really advance quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what we find.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part of it. And, you know, since I live in Sedona, which we like to call woo-woo world. Uh-huh. You know, we have a lot of very talented and a lot of no talent people here. But everybody's striving for something. And it can get very strange being in this town, especially when you first come, and especially if you have any kind of powers at all. What you get is you get the people who are going to sit back and watch you, and you get the people who are going to run at you and try to take everything you've got, because it's that kind of energy here. And one of the things that I found over the years is it's all that way so that you can start to develop your heart-centered energy. You know, you have the choice. Are you going to devolve into the negative, or are you going to start to learn what your part is in all this, open your heart, and start to find the people who are heart-centered here? And so as I've grown through the years and been in and out of here for about 30 years, I have noticed that lately the chasm between the two is widening at a rapid rate. But what I'm noticing is those of us that are coming together on the heart-centered side, man, we are really creating some miracles. It's really been amazing. And we're having fun, and we're just kind of going, wow, you know, we feel sorry for those people that are on the other side. We try to help them. But, you know, what I'm finding is a lot of those people are saying, no, I don't want to be helped. And it's like, okay, then all I can do is pray for you, or, you know, send you some good vibes, you know, kind of like cosmic flowers or something. And that's about all that you can do at that point. But those of us that are on the other side, we're going, hey, what can we do next? What's new and exciting? What can we create in this world to make it a better place? And it's just amazing. People are becoming sweeter and kinder and more compassionate on this side, whereas people on the other side are getting nastier and more negative. And I finally realized something, Dr. Joe. I can't talk to people in 3D anymore. And it took me a while to figure this out, because I was like, I know I'm speaking English, and yet these people are like totally not getting it. And I'm just talking about, you know, day-to-day workings of things.
Yeah.
And I started to realize, oh, I have a completely different frame of reference than these people do. And it's just become more and more apparent that their minds are closing down is the best way I can describe it. And I think that's
interesting to me.
I
think, you know, that if you really raise a high energy, yes, you'll attract a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, in my experience, also tend to be transformative, because people feel safe around you if you really are not in judgment.
Yeah.
And even if the initial volley is, you know, what you do is of the devil, if you maintain your space, usually people will come around, at least with respect. Sedona is an interesting place. I have a wolf named after me out there by a good friend who keeps a few wolves
out
in Sedona. And when I was there, I felt, you know, the unique energies there.
Yeah, it is interesting. I totally agree with what you're saying. Because I've had all kinds of experiences out here with people and other beings. And I think from the very beginning, when I first came to Sedona, you would have people that they would be so upset by the energy that they immediately came out with, oh, you're of the devil. And it's like, what, seriously? Get out of here. You know? and then after a while, you know, people go, oh, well, you know, you're not like that at all. It's like, I know that. You know, and it doesn't happen just to me. It's happened to a lot of people out here. And finally we figured out, yeah, it's because it's a different energy than they're used to feeling. And they don't understand that, you know, how could somebody have their heart open in the first place? And it's so powerful, it almost pushes people away. It's almost like a physical feeling, you know, where they feel something like coming at them and they're just not sure what it is. And I've heard it described as kind of like being pushed at the heart level. But like there's a pillow, there's a 10-foot pillow between you and the person, but it's pushing against you hard. And
I think we can learn to refine in the MC Squared program, because we had so much spontaneous healing in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We have these formal healing circles, and when we started 10 years ago, people would be in the middle with heart energy being directed toward them. And after a minute, they'd say, okay, that's enough, thanks. Now they'll bathe in there for 10 minutes and say they could stay there forever. And I think what's happened is we've become not only more powerful, but more gentle.
And so
the energy from other people is experienced smoother on their part. And I think people's capacities may be changing as well, because, of course, we're dealing there with people who are more of like mind and more open and receptive, but they still may have some of the common issues of difficulty receiving, feeling deserving, those kind of things. And for some reason now we're able to kind of, without even trying, their defenses melt, and they're able to receive much better than they were 10 years ago when we started.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I think, I know there's a difference between doing something by force of will and doing something completely cleanly from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people feel that. Because I know I went through different healing elevations and spirals and strange things, as I was growing up. And one of the things I noticed is when I was first doing hands-on healing as an adult, I would grab onto somebody and throw the energy at them, and it was my will, and they would be healed. You know, I could slap somebody on the forehead, yell, heal, and boy, they'd be healed like instantly. But it was the force of my will doing it. And so after a while, I realized, wait a minute, maybe I'm taking away this person's lesson. That's not necessarily a good thing. So then I moved into heart-centered stuff, just opening the heart and just allowing little gold balls of healing to come out and kind of go sprinkle all over people if they needed them. And as I did that, I realized that, hey, nobody has to know that I'm doing this stuff. I don't have to ask permission or anything. I can just be me and just love people and love the earth and the creatures upon the earth and, just be living in my heart and just let this stuff happen naturally. And then nobody knows what happened. They just instantly have a miracle or something, And I like that a lot better.
Valerie, you just brought up another, I think, very important point. I know so many people we could call New Age, very good faith, very good heart, but they can't get it together financially, relationship-wise, or health.
Sure.
And your statement of loving the earth, I think, is really important in terms of what I've found, that you need to be fully bringing in the beautiful earth energies, allow yourself to be here as a physical being, and at the same point in time be the big X point between spirit and earth. So the highest of energies meet in your heart, and the earth energies meet in your heart, and then you become powerful if you're in the now, and you're grounded and expanded. That's when manifestation and psychokinesis and things like that happen much more readily. And I love the psychokinesis because it's a wonderful feedback device. If we are at the dice table and you're in wide open heart, all is one, connected with spirit, connected with earth, you'll get rewarded with money within seconds, usually, and repeatedly. But if you go into greed, fear, ego, or disconnect from the earth, you'll get punished by them taking the money away. So it's a reward punishment, a classical conditioning, if you will, toward a more enlightened way of living. And that lesson of fully wanting to be here, even with all the war, disease, and turmoil, is one that many people, their natural tendency is to just avoid and escape, either through television or what have you. And when they do that, they lose their power.
That's a really interesting point, because as a physician, I see all kinds of people at all stages of life, although I'm a naturopathic physician, so I tend to see the people who are more awake. But I've seen people who have gone to the ends, they're about to check out, and then they come to me as a last-ditch effort. And I find that most of them don't even want to be here.
Yeah.
And, 99% of them don't want to be here. And I get them aside and I say, look, I'm going to help you however I can, whichever way you decide to go. But I want you to be honest with me. Do you really want to live?
And most of them will say, no, I'm only doing this for my family. And I tell them, okay, I'm not going to tell your family that. I'm going to support you in any way that I can. But I just needed to know, because you don't have the right to waste my energy. You know, I mean, it's all one energy anyway, but it's like, you know, I was kind of playing with my section of energy. And, nope, there's my cat. See, you said earlier, here, kitty, uh-huh. There she is.
Yes. My cat often walks through right in the middle of the interview and wants to be let out. So
mine's just laying there looking at me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's kind of interesting, you know, watching all these things, just really observing how people are, what they're going through, and, you know, how they're having a hard time being honest with themselves. And so I found the best way I can get people to be honest with themselves is to go into their heart and, you know, really examine, what do you really want? And if you really want to go, well, okay. And, you know, if not, then, you know, let's get it on and get some healing work done here. And I think that the magic and the mystery of the book that you've written is that you're going to grab a lot of people, because it's about Vegas. It's inner Vegas, baby. You know, and it's like, hey, how can you win big at the tables and things? And I think that when people get into it, you're going to get a lot of people who didn't know, hey, I could open my heart and I could have magic and miracles in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is valuable. That's really valuable.
Yeah, it's kind of tragic when people make a decision about whether or not to be here, not knowing just what the potential is here for heaven on earth here. And to me, that potential is great. Starting with the kingdom of heaven is within, if you will. Home study course, we did a survey of 60 people who took that, and one of the most common findings, besides everybody being able to do PK almost, was that so many people reported they now became happy. And to me, that's a big achievement, just to be peaceful and happy within your life here, regardless of what's going on. You know, bad things still happen, but your response to them are very different. I had a kitty cat that I loved since we heard the meow before. Got by some of the neighbor dogs and was savaged in front of me. And I held her and she died. Well, in the country here, the rule is any pet that kills another is no longer themselves. But I went and met this man who I'd never met before. And the first thing I did was give him a big hug and said we had something soulful to talk about, and we reached a great understanding. Where in the past, 30 years ago, I would have gone into fear, anger, vengeance, victim, all those kinds of energies. Mm-hmm. And instead, I stayed in the heart, and it was a very powerful experience for everybody.
Yeah, and you mentioned that in your book, too, about being at the table where there were negative people and the entire pit crew was negative, and you had the pressure on that you had to perform in front of your class of people, and you chose to go into the heart, and then pretty soon everybody's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so cool. I love that.
Yeah.
And I've seen that myself, you know. I Sedona can get very intense sometimes, and there's been days where, you know, like I'm at my place doing my own thing, happy. And then I go, oh, shoot, there's nothing for lunch. And so I jump in the car and I go over to the market. And one day I walked in and everybody looked like they were a pod person. The atmosphere was depressing and just dark. And it was so weird. I walked in the front door of this grocery store and everybody stopped what they were doing as far as the eye could see. And everybody turned and looked at me. And I was like, whoa, you know, should I like backpedal really quick here? It was very strange. And I was like, wow, you know, what the heck is going on here? Well, at the time, there were a lot of experiments going on, you know, through the airwaves and, you know, who knows what else. And these people were really affected by it. They looked haggard. And so I thought, well, what am I going to do about this? I'm hungry. I want to get something for lunch, you know. So I grabbed a cart and I'm going through the store.
And I made an effort to have my heart open and to look into everybody's eyes as I passed them and smile. By the time I got halfway through the store, people were talking again, because, again, it was dead silent. You know, it was really weird. They were talking, they were laughing, and it was like at one point you could hear this big collective sigh. And then everybody was back to normal, and I went, wow, I don't know what that was, but I'm really glad I chose to open my heart.
The thing is, we get that opportunity every second. You know, I was in Vegas and had taught all day, 18-hour day, and I was just trying to hide in the casino somewhere, basically away. And I wanted to get a royal flush in hearts, which is 160,000 to one, but good verification that the heart energy is where it's at. So I sat down, and because the group's pretty psychic after we've worked with them, they immediately found me, and they said, oh, can we play? And I had a second to either say, no, thanks, you know, I've been with you all day, or sure, sit down, but not mean it. But instead, I genuinely opened my heart, and then the third pull was the Royal Flush in Hearts at $100,000 to one and $4,000. So you get this very strong confirmation out there in much of life. Like if you're looking for a soulmate or something, it might take a long time before you get feedback. Vegas, the feedback is really quick, and that's great for learning.
Yeah. Well, it's so, I mean, it's so fascinating, because not only are you practicing the PK with that, but, you know, I mean, you have such reinforcement there, not just the instant, but it's like, wow, you know, when people can go there and they can get money, because, you know, money is such a big thing in this world, they can get that money and realize that they got the money when they opened their hearts. That's a whole different thing. I mean, I know people that give money to people and to causes and stuff because they say they have to, because, you know, that's how they started making money. But I'm thinking, well, now how much are you really going to get back when your purpose for doing something like that is to get more money? And see, that's never made any sense to me. It's like, you know, why wouldn't you just give from your heart, not worrying about where it's going to go or what you're going to get back?
All right. Well, and that's where, you know, the movie you mentioned, talking about just visualizing what you want and making it so, to me, falls short. You need to learn how to get rid of your own feelings of lack, feelings of fear, feelings of guilt, in order to really be able to move into a genuine, excuse me, heart-open state. And the HemiSync exercises with the same technology that the Monroe Institute uses is a very good and powerful way to do that. So that's why we use it in Vegas and in the home study, because it can save years of psychotherapy, if you will, to make the progress to be able to finally shed fear and begin to move into a much more comfortable, joyous, confident way of living.
Yeah, and I've been using immersion and the dive from the HemiSync stuff for a number of years to help people to get into the meditative state very quickly, because I was doing groups around the country for a couple of years doing quantum vortex groups where I'd set up this quantum physics equipment to help people to feel what the zero-point field feels like. And, you know, tried to explain to them, this is what happens when you're truly connected, when you're in the meditative state. And so once you feel that, you know that you don't have to have equipment to get it. It's just the equipment made it a little bit easier. And what we did was we did rounds like in a sweat lodge kind of. You know, we sat in a circle and we did a round of release of whatever we wanted to release out of our lives, including people, and then forgiveness of self and others, and then prayers of assistance for other people without saying what they needed. And then we would go into this visualization of connectedness and then do the manifestation. And we had some amazing things that happened with that. And it was a hoot. You know, I loved hearing what people experienced, especially when they were clued into the fact that we were all together and we could see each other through this meditation. And these people went on to create some really fascinating things in their lives
Because once you feel that heart-centered connection, then it's like, oh yeah, that again. Well, let me get in the zone. And, you know, I like to get into that zone when I'm trying to figure out what somebody's problem is. Yeah. And, you know, it just makes my job so much easier because I get these people that have been to all these specialists and nobody could figure them out. And they come and sit in front of me and go, well, do you know what's wrong with me? And I'm like, oh, boy. I have no clue. Let me think about it for a bit. And the way that I find out what's happening is I go into that heart-centered space. And I ask, you know, how can I help this person? And where do I feel this in my body? And, you know, what could cause this type of a thing? And as I'm sure you're well aware, the mind and the emotions have so much to do with most of illness and, you know, can get somebody well, like, overnight or quicker if the people will just allow it.
An ecosystem and our body, mind, spirit, inner child, ancestors, we're complex creatures. So we try to send messages down to the quantum energy in every cell, up through all the organ systems of the body, and into the unconscious and the higher self, get everybody who we are cooperating to affect the healing.
And yeah.
That usually works pretty well.
Well, and I was interested, too, as I was reading through that book, I was thinking about a thing I went to years ago. I did the whole Harvecker Quantum Leap program, you know, and okay. One of the classes that you go to is warrior training, and it's pretty intense. And I actually suffered a heart attack while I was there. But instead of doing anything, you know, like, oh, help, I'm having a heart attack, I was like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, not run up this this big pole that that you're supposed to, like, traverse, and I'm not going to run down the line. And I could feel it extending, and I thought, ah, crap, I'm going to have them take me to urgent care. And so at about that point, they had a healing circle. And Julie Blue was there. She teaches voice, you know, singing and heartfelt stuff. And she said, let's do a healing circle. Let's put the people that need healing in the center. And we'll put the people that have lots of energy and are willing to give and, you know, in the outer circle. And so she led us through this exercise, you know, to open the heart. And there was this nice Japanese guy standing right across from me. And the minute that everybody opened up their hearts and started channeling the healing energy, man, I was sucking that energy down like you wouldn't believe. And Bob, the Japanese guy, was like, wow. We got all done. And I went over and I said, thank you. You helped me to heal. And he said, wow, he said, I couldn't believe how strongly you were pulling that energy. I said, well, Bob, I had a heart attack today, so thank you. Thank you for healing my heart with your heart. And it was just so cool because he felt such a connection and such an increase in his own strength. And he said he didn't know that he could channel that much energy out.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the old adage of no one is healed alone. The minute you move to help someone, and it's from the heart, then, yeah, you're going to be helped too, as opposed to just doing a good deed because you want to feel better, which is kind of the definition of the road to hell being paved with good intentions.
Yeah, we find that, we always have that in a couple of things. We always invite our intention to have even more surprisingly positive results than we expect. And also anytime healing's occurring, that we're within that. So we fill ourselves to overflowing with the highest and finest energies and then use that to help another.
Yeah. Well, and I found it fascinating, too, if you talk a little bit about the arch that you guys form when you mm-hmm. go to do the work at the tables.
Well, we found this quite early. I don't know if it's maybe the fourth or fifth workshop we did out there. That if we had a person stand either side of the shooter and just look at each other in the eyes and really connect on a heart-to-heart basis and keep that presence going, and then the shooter walked into that energy arch, if you will, it calmed the shooter down, grounded them, opened their heart, and the person could roll much better and also roll a good bit longer. So that became one of our routines that we call the energy arch, and we put two people either side of that that become kind of the flying buttresses to the arch, if you remember your Gothic cathedral. And they also take care of all the practicalities, like bedding for the person, getting a drink if the drink lady comes around, whatever that person might need. But the main thing is when that arch is going, the person in the center of that often feels tremendous power. They may burst in tears at the beauty of how it feels to be in the center there. And and then the secondary effect is they tend to roll like a son of a gun.
Well, yeah, and you're not kidding about the rolling. I mean, listeners, these guys roll like, what, 90 minutes or something?
We've had many 90-minute rolls, yeah.
And yeah, that is amazing.
Unusual.
I think the tops I ever did was 9, but I was by myself, you know, and I don't really understand the game. I just did it, you know, just for fun, just to see what I could do. And I'd get everybody around me all excited, you know, and I'd do about 9 rolls, and then that was it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, the whole experience of that and the protective capacity of it, too. Because when you're running this kind of energy, you know, a lot of people, I don't know how many psychic vampires you run into while you're doing this, but a lot of people will come over and just suck that energy right up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, because of all the preparation we do, it's been amazing how free we've been of people that might hassle us, if you will. Mm-hmm. But we again spend the whole day before we even go down there getting our energy right, and then like attracts like. So if you're in really nice energy, the people that tend to be coming by, most of them are more like angels. They tend to come by, and no matter what they think their intention is, we treat them as if they were angels coming to help us, and often that's what happens. So even somebody who's standing there and being obnoxious by a traditional definition, we use your energy and say, this energy is going to help us. And that's what happens.
Yeah, and if people would go through life like that, life would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You know, before we get to the end of the hour here, would you please give out your websites and how people could find out about your Vegas adventures and all that kind of stuff?
Probably the easiest to remember is the title of the book, Inner, INNER, Vegas, VEGAS, .com, and that will take you to the book page of the main website. And the website, main website's address is SYNC, like in synchronize, S-Y-N-C, creation, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N.com, so synccreation.com. InnerVegas.com will get you there. And the book is also available, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, those kind of things.
You know, I have to compliment you, too, in your style of writing.
Thank you.
You know, it really was a hard book to put down. It was just fascinating. And I love the way that you wrote it. And I was surprised, frankly, because, you know, when you have been through academia as much as you have, you would normally expect something really dry and just, you know, just the facts. And I'll tell you, I've read so many medical books and research articles and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, my God, these guys never learned how to write. And then you go read their books and they've got some interesting information to impart, but it's so boring you can't get through the book, you know.
Thank you very much. I had some people complain that I kept them up all night because they couldn't put the book down. And that was very satisfying.
Yeah, I had a couple of nights like that too. And it was just, I just kept turning the page and going, this is just absolutely wonderful. Because of the message and because of the way that you wrote it, it's really easy to read. It makes good sense. And, you know, it's just so uplifting. And I think, I just can't give you enough kudos for that, because read it, it's so important, Dr. Joe.
What I tried to do is basically, and I think I succeeded, which was real satisfying, as I said, I'm just going to write this book from my heart.
So it shows.
Down on all that academic dryness and gets it to be an interesting story, and people can sense the truth in it, and, you know, in terms of me sharing true stories from my own life and other people that I've met along the way. So,
yeah, it's just such a wonderful job. So, listeners, I hope you do pick up a copy of Dr. Joe's book, Inner Vegas, because it's a hoot, really. It's fun to read, and it's just so heartwarming when you see the things that you can do. And, you know, so many people, well, like I was, you know, had this thing against gambling until I decided to change my belief system. And I could never understand, you know, how people could think that that was possibly fun. And of course, mm-hmm. as a result, you know, the first couple of times I tried, I lost. You know, yeah. But once I changed my belief system, it was really a funny thing. You know, I started doing okay. And I have a friend who never wins less than a $75,000 jackpot. I mean, this guy, he walks in, he and his mother both, they go into a casino, they both walk out with jackpots, and they do That's it consistently.
Wonderful. And again, to me, in my life, I'm very abundant in all kinds of ways, not just money, and the money is not the main point.
Right.
And so for me, it just is the feedback device that I think a lot of people can, by having that experience, see that in other things in life they can really have a lot more power, a lot more ability to heal than they may have thought possible.
And exactly.
That's the great victory when that happens.
Yeah, and it's just it's fascinating to see that all come together in your book. That's what I thought was just so amazing, because, you know, people have reached out to people, you know, saying, oh, it's heart-centered, and a lot of people pick up the book and go, oh, yeah, you know, I've had enough of this heart-centered crap. And they put it down, you know, because it didn't touch them in the right way. But I think it was very sneaky, Dr. Joe. Just really did a good job of sneaking that stuff right in there. Yeah.
Thank you,
Mike. Oh, you're welcome. It was just fascinating. And how often are you doing Vegas adventures now?
We have one in June and August. Both are filled with a waiting list. The next one will probably be November. Sent in the request of the hotel to approve those dates. So usually we do about four or five a year, and then we have one for graduates only. Once they've seen psychokinesis and their trust in knowing goes up, things can get even more powerful. So we do that. And I'm up at Monroe Institute probably about 10 weeks a year. And then I go internationally and teach the SYNC creation, like the home study mm-hmm. version. So I get to travel. And anytime I go to a new country, I take my wife and we have a week or two vacation afterwards. So that works out pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, awesome. How much do your trainings run for Vegas?
For Vegas, the tuition is right now $895. And,
that's reasonable.
Then we get special room rates and all of that.
Okay, so there you have it, listeners. It's a way to learn how to open your heart and manifest good in your life, and do it while you're yelling, 7, come 11, and come on, 6. You know?
That's right.
Or here, kitty, kitty.
Here, kitty, kitty on the slot machine. That's fun, too.
Yeah, I think that's just fascinating, and I would love to come to one of your trainings. I'm going to have to figure out when I can do that, and I think that would help my PK go up quite a bit, because I've been wondering, okay, a lot of us have had this stuff when we were kids, and it's like, what the heck happened to it? Where did mm-hmm. it go, and how do we develop this back, you know, and get back to all the magic that was in childhood? And I think you've got the answer.
Probably the group we attract the most is energy healers, because the PK does increase their confidence and their understanding of the process, and so they find their healing ability goes up from there. We also get a lot of people who are interested in increasing their intuition, like stock traders and things like that. But people leave and they find soulmates or art commissions or whatever their hearts desire, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's just fascinating. And your price is certainly reasonable. I think that's just something I'm just going to have to try. Plus, my family
Good.
Lives
well,
in Vegas.
I'll expect to see you there then sometime.
Yeah, that would be really fun to do something like that. And
Like, I'm just going to have that experience. You know, life is all about experience, listeners. So, you know, you should be looking for different things that are fun. You know, I don't know about anybody else out there, but I've had enough of the hard stuff, you know. It's time for the good stuff now.
Sometimes as adults we forget how to play, and it's nice to find a way to play. We have a lot of people come back 10 to 20 times, and they say they learn something each time, but one of the big reasons they show up is they have so much fun, and they meet such wonderful people from all over the world who are like-minded, and they so the gaming is there, but the people in the fellowship is real important to them as well.
And what do you suggest people do to prepare for one of these workshops?
Well, we send out a preparation manual with some suggestions about some energy work meditations to do ahead of time. And as I mentioned, when we get there, we use hemi-zinc and other kinds of heart-opening meditation for a full day to prepare for the energy before we ever go to the casino. Some people do go and get the Zinc Creation Home Study course that I mentioned, because in that course I can go into much more depth than a three-day workshop on the areas of psychokinesis, manifesting, and healing. And it's also great preparation for the Vegas adventure.
Cool. Well, that's, I think you found something fascinating. I'm so glad that you came on the show. Thank you so much for being the guest tonight and opening people's eyes.
Pleasure.
Yeah, it's really fascinating stuff. So thank you so much for that, and I would love to have you on to talk about just the Sync Creation too, if you're up for that. And I'll email you to see when you've got some time for doing that, because I think that the way you put stuff together is really right on, and I think it's easy enough for a lot of people to get it the way that you present it.
Great. Well, thank you again for all the compliments tonight, and thank you to your audience too for listening, huh?
Yeah. Well, you deserve all those compliments. So we are happy to hear about all this stuff and to get to meet you on the air. So thank you for being on the show. We've been talking with Dr. Joe Gallenberger about his book, Inner Vegas, and you can find that at innervegas.com. And his other website is Sync Creation, SYNCCREATION.com, with a program to start practicing all this stuff. And you might want to check out one of those Vegas adventures, people. Sounds pretty fascinating. So thank you very much for tuning in. Our show has been brought to you by starlights.com, starlights.com, with some New Age CDs and DVDs and all kinds of incense and little sayings and Moroccan lanterns and jewelry and tons of neat stuff. And also by alternativecancer.us, where you can find the answers to how to deal with cancers and how to prevent them. So once again, thank you everybody for tuning in, and until next week, as usual, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty-night.